Everybody, welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. You're here with LaVon. Happy Friday. Thanks for joining us. If you haven't figured out yet, we are here 5 times a week on UCY.tv, Monday through Friday. And currently, we are broadcasting live between 8 and 9 p.m. Pacific time, 11 and 12 p.m. Eastern time. We've been talking with the network for a while now to get some more time, so that may or may not be happening, so look forward to that. So there's a lot going on in the world, and we're going to talk a little bit about the news, but I mostly want to talk about some awesome projects that my friends and I have been working on, so I'm excited to share with you guys that. The most awesome thing in the world and why I do what I do is somebody living in their truth, or somebody who's literally in love with what they do. And I've been trying to create that for myself so that I could not only perpetuate it with integrity and honesty, but show people that it's possible. And I've been doing this show for a couple years now. Began by talking to you guys about a dream of growing my own food and creating a garden. And my intention was to do so not only to ensure that I was made of the healthiest foods around and support my body and its intention to be healthy. So that's what your body does all day. But I wanted to show people that we don't always have to go so fast in this world. And it's true, we don't. And I did that. I grew my own food. And I really started to notice that being out in the garden was, you know, it was infectious. You know, I would be late to work because I got lost in the garden. And that's awesome. You know, like you want to do what you love. You want to thrive with your gifts. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight before I get too much off track here. If you guys want to read some news with me, you can join me on the antimedia.org. Let me get there myself here. So where to begin? There's so many stories. Let's start back here a little bit. So this is a pretty good article that we posted the other day. It was an op-ed by Dan Sanchez. This was on the 3rd, and it's titled "Nothing to Fear But the Fearful Themselves." And he begins by saying, "When I first learned of the recent attacks in Paris, a chill went down my spine. No, I thought, this is all happening too fast. I was terrified. I was not terrorized, mind you. What happened in Paris was tragic, of course, but was not so ignorant and innumerate as to think the kind of violence it represents was a statistically significant direct threat to myself and loved ones." So that's like cognitive thought there, you know, he's being rational with himself. I was fully cognizant that even with the recent uptick in terror attacks, the probability of my family ever being caught up in one was finished was vanishingly minuscule. I am more likely to be felled by a deer or a bolt of lightning than by a jihadist Kalashnikov. What terrified me was the response of all the people who are incapable of such proportional perspective. Those who saw the news from France in panic, thinking, I'm next. As distant as it was, the Paris attacks unleashed in America a surge of fear and of calls for greater police powers, as well as an attendant wave of anti-Muslim hate and war lust. And as sophisticated and urbane as the French are reputed to be, they too let irrational terror wash over them, and under its sway, that permitted the state to run rampant over life and liberty. The public attitude was distilled by a young French citizen whose message to her government was, "Do whatever you want, but keep me safe." With this mandate, French escalated its pointless and terrorist breeding bombs of civilian-filled Syrian towns and at homes, as Truth and Media reported. The French government declared a state of emergency based on a rarely used 1955 law that allows the state to conduct warrantless searches of private property, impose curfews, restrict public gatherings and movements of people, confiscate weapons at will, and take over the press. As always, the statist public perversely responded to the terrorism drawn upon their heads by their government's foreign militancy by sanctioning much such, I'm sorry, by sanctioning more such militancy. And it perversely rewarded that government for its abject failure to prevent the attacks with more resources, powers, and responsibility. On top of arrests, sweeps, and threatening to close mosques, the French government's emergency powers were invoked to place activists under house arrest in order to squelch completely unrelated protests. This demonstrated vividly that war is indeed the health of the state, and war-spawned terrorist attacks are likely an adrenaline shot for domestic tyranny. When I saw these re responses, it fully sank in just how surrounded my family and I are by human livestock, and just how acutely dangerous that position is. I realized that when an attack of that scale and shock value again happens on American soil, the pack-minded multitudes all around me will be at bay for war, and the herd-minded hundreds of millions will stampede into the state for security, bleeding to please, please be shorn of their remaining liberties. I am not terrified of the terrorists. I am not myself terrorized. Rather, I am terrified of the terrorized, terrified of the bovine masses who are so easily manipulated by terrorists, governments, and the terror-amplifying media into allowing our country to slip toward authoritarianism and total war. So, there's that. And I share his notion because there was another attack that we're all aware of that happened in San Bernardino. And, there's just one of many, many attacks. And a lot of people are speculating whether or not these are planned towards hurting people in a more controlled manner. And I'm not going to go into that because there's a lot of people discussing that right now, and I just don't want to fuel it. But ultimately, it's our decision. What we allow will continue, right? So back on the topic of solutions, I'm always going to go back to being self-sustaining We always talk about permaculture and supporting your body naturally, and permaculture is a really awesome way to do that while growing food and creating an ecosystem. So these are things we have to think about. It boggles my mind how much money we spend on war every month when we could literally be, we could end poverty and we could educate the masses on a scale like never before seen. Not in our time, anyways. So, my goodness, there's so much horrible news. I want to talk about some awesome stuff. There's this really cool website, you guys, that I just started working for called the99.net. And they're really awesome because we actually share a thread of intention. Like, for example, the 99 is an arts and humanities website. And what they do is they are a networking outlet that showcases music and art by activists. And this is important because this is a way for people to build communities and gather around things that are not war and are not fueled by hate, but the opposite. So if you guys want to check out the 99.net, it's the word the and then 99, like the number, dot net. And they also have a Facebook if you guys want to go check that out. We've been making some really cool memes trying to get the word out. And got a lot of people supporting us, which is really cool. But what I like best about the 99.net is if you go to their site, you can find musicians, artists, videos, audio work, artwork, events. They have a media section. It's so cute. On their media section, they have a link to the anti-media, We Are Change, the Free Thought Project, Police the Police, the Fifth Column, Conscious Resistance Network, and Photography is Not a Crime. So if you guys don't know of any of those other outlets besides us, obviously you're listening to us, please check them out. There's some really brilliant, dedicated, amazing individuals who work for all of those outlets. And they're amazing in them. They have top quality information. But what's cool about the 99 is that it's a way for all of us to work together. And as a result of that, we have been doing so. And our hope is to not only empower artists, but to share their work with others. It's so hard for artists in the world to make a living. And that's not fair. We shouldn't live in a society where people can't do what they love and also live and survive. So, just like I changed my course of work temporary, I got out of the corporate world and I want to work for myself and build a community where I live. And that's so hard to do. It's really hard to do. But with enough passion and dedication, anybody can do it. It honestly, like, is possible. I'm not perfect. God knows that. I'm just requires a lot of planning. So, hey guys, it's Lavon back again. Sorry about that. I'm using my cell phone because I keep getting caught in this perpetual cycle of computer viruses. I have no idea why. But it is a thing. So thank you for dealing with my technical problems the last few weeks. Apologize, I'm also not able to take calls tonight because of that same reason. But I should be back with a proper studio equipment in time for next broadcast. So back to on topic here. I was sharing with you guys some tangible aspects of my dreams and intentions towards creating a sustainable world, not only for myself, but for people in my community. And I've been working with other local artists and not local artists, friends from all over the world now because of the 99.net. And we're trying to showcase other artists and give them the audience to share their work. And hopefully through the anti-media and all those other news outlets that they feature, we'll be able to do that. So if there's any artists out there, and I don't care what type of art or music that you make, I want to know about it. You guys can send it to me at turnloveon@gmail.com. Or you can send me a message through the 99.net. And we're going to start showcasing these artists and musicians on our program. So anytime that we have a slot available with any of the days of the week that we have a program, we want to start incorporating these types of things. Because we realize that it's not only important to teach you guys what's going on in the world, but we have to help each other be our best as well, or else nothing's going to change. So we realize that we've got to support all the creators and the dreamers and the doers, because we get more of those, create them, make them stronger and fortify them and build them up. It's going to catch like fire. So I'm really proud that I'm part of this team. Being with the anti-media is unlike anything I've ever done. It's been frightening and amazing all at the same time, because it's like being in the Matrix and deciding to leave it almost. And it's amazing to just kind of open my eyes and realize that I can do what I love. And that's what I'm trying to do. So for the past year or so, after leaving my conventional job, I've been formulating what I call love on potions. So what I've done, you guys, is, I'm nervous and excited. What I've done is I've taken herbs and other things that I've grown, natural compounds. You guys know that I love plants and I study them. And I've harvested them and dried them and properly infused them into different solvents and created potions. And these potions have different healing abilities. And my notion is that I can help people get well from the outside in and the inside out. And if I can do this for people on an individual level, like, I'll realistically be creating stronger, healthier, more functioning people, or supporting them towards them doing that themselves. And then they can do what they love too. And then the world will be full of people doing what they love, and it'll just literally be like a little dreamland utopia. That's my fantasy. That's what I've got going on in my brain. So there. But what's cool about it is that it started out as a crazy little dream, and I finally made it tangible. And then reluctantly, because I wasn't quite there yet. I didn't believe in it. I've been sharing it with people, and the response has been so positive and so inspiring and supporting that I'm ready to share it on a bigger scale. So hopefully next week I'll be able to ship within California Love on Potions, which are infused with cannabis, to people in California. And you guys will be able to order those from turnloveon.com. If you want to check it out, you can get a little preview. There's a really good profile on there of my sage oil, and I'll be happy to read it to you. So I'm taking sage lavender, rosemary, and cannabis and extracted them into their own potion. And based on those extractions, I create balms or edibles or what I call like a preventative elixir. And it's really awesome because people with all different types of ailments can benefit from it. So just for an example, my sage potion has many functions to assist the body. It's 100% edible, and I use it primarily to help relieve digestive problems because sage is a natural pain reliever and an anti-inflammatory. Believe it or not, you guys, most pain is inflammation. And according to Dr. Mercola, it also reduces the effects of exposure to toxins and narcotics and consumption of excessively spicy or salty foods. Well, all of us intake toxins, just happens in our daily lives. Narcotics can be anywhere from, an aspirin to hardcore drugs. And I'm guilty of eating excessively spicy foods. Who doesn't like that? I'm just kidding. But he goes on to share that sage also reduces inflammation of the skin, gut, and excretory tracts. And this is really important to me because our skin is our largest organ, our barrier to the outside world, and as well as our excretory tracts. They chops all the pathogens and helps move waste from the body and protect like the most essential barriers internally. And our gut, it's so important because that's where we assimilate our nutrients and also battle lots of toxins. So it's just really important to me to support those systems. And so many people nowadays suffer from digestive issues, and it's mostly an epidemic. And I've talked to you guys about this before. I think it's a result of us depleting what's natural in our soil. As a result, we've also disrupted the balance inside of us. And people from all types of different races and ethnic backgrounds who are all eating the same food laced with whatever they put on it nowadays are suffering consequences that not only make them in agony, a lot of people suffer lots of digestive pain, but their inability to eat or keep food down is a major issue. So this helps those suffering, as sage aids and assists the metabolism of food by promoting the production of bile and gastric juices in the digestive system. Another benefit is that sage contains properties that help remove dandruff. So you could use this potion as a shampoo too. Say you have dreadlocks or even normal hair and you don't want to use anything, chemicals or additives. You could simply put it in your hair and wash with it. And it makes you spend a little extra time in the shower too. The Love On Potion Sage Oil has been hand selected and crafted with care and makes a wonderful addition to thirsty or wanting skin, mostly a massage oil. But my favorite thing is it can be used as an aromatherapy aid. It can stimulate the mind and address mental fatigue and depression. So as moms, I'm a mom. I have two little bouncing babes. One's almost 8, the other's almost 3. So they keep me going. It's nonstop. Moms don't get in a moment. They have to play all the roles: doctor, psychologist, teacher, ninja instructor, Jedi master, chef, gardening master, you name it, bug expert. We've got to know everything. And honestly, there are many times when I just stop and I just grab some of the sage potion and I just like breathe it in because I get anxiety when it comes to being a parent because I'm shaping and molding a human who's going to be independent of me one day and out in the world just doing whatever they want. And that freaks me the freak out. Like it gives me more anxiety than anything I've ever done in my life. Like I could easily manage a doctor's office with thousands and thousands of patients, no problem. But two kids, like they almost defeat me some most days, just because that's what kids do. And it's awesome because it could help you be Dr. Mom. It's I got antiseptic properties, and because of the medium or the oil that I infuse it with, which is coconut oil, you can use it for cleaning wounds. You can put it on a Band-Aid, and you can know, like, I'm giving my kid really awesome, safe thing. Something that I call zombie versus mommy. A zombie is a mom who's just exhausted. She's like, argh. You know, she's caught in a fog. And moms are full of hormones, right? And who isn't? We all have hormones, but mothers especially, we have a fluctuation of hormones every few weeks. And sage is considered to be one of the top essential oils for balancing hormones, especially in women. And many claims have been made as to its benefits when dealing with cramps, heavy menstrual cycles, hot flashes, and any hormonal imbalances. So that's just one of the oils I use. And I'm going to write a profile on cannabis, lavender, and rosemary as well. But just to give you guys an idea, if you're interested in supporting me in this cause towards helping everyone get well, I'm finally ready to do it. And I would appreciate you guys checking out the site. And I'll keep you updated, of course. So, woo! That's really awesome. I can give you guys a few special stories here, which kind of led up to me doing this. Basically, I was managing this really very popular healing center. Well, it became very popular in the community. When I first began working there, there was quite a reputation for the healer, the doctor who works there. You know, he made a notion for himself, and it's understandable. He's amazing. But what changed is we started listening to people, and we started believing in their power to be in the driver's seat of their lives. And we started inspiring them towards being optimal. And not only that, is we achieved it ourselves. We had this really awesome, like, kickstart weight loss thing, where we had a competition to lose body fat. And I lost like 50 pounds and like 20% body fat or something crazy like that. And it hadn't been the only time I'd done it in my life, but it was the first time that I did it while encouraging others. And it motivated so many people to do it. And I realized, like, wow, it's so powerful, leading by example. And it kind of caught a fire there, where people were getting well and they were so excited and empowered that they just couldn't help but tell somebody else. And it happened to where we were just constant referrals, you know, people telling other people about their experience. And that was awesome to see as an individual. It was really awesome to see, and it really inspired me because I got to meet thousands of people from everywhere on an intimate level who did all sorts of different jobs and were dealing with all sorts of different ailments. And what was really interesting to me is not only speaking to them, of course, but watching how they heal. And what I realized is that healing hurts. And healing is not just physical. Healing is emotional. Healing is spiritual. And healing is conditional. People have to feel kind of a balance in all of those different realms to kind of process whatever that thing is. Maybe it's a past experience or a traumatizing moment or an argument 3 years ago with someone they really cared about that they never let go. And you'd be amazed, like, to see someone actually to heal, like, in the sense where So you're working on their arm when they have a mass in there. And it's happened a lot where they just start crying. You know, you tell them, you know, you can let this out, or wow, this is a tight area. Let's get this out of there. And people often report like fire or reliving an experience or feeling that emotion that they felt with that experience, or having flashbacks to that experience, or whatever that thing was for them, or crying or yelling or laughing, just all sorts of reactions. Just to see it happen, though, really gave me a different view on the world, to where I want to normalize that. I want people to understand that, because we don't know that. You know, our conventional medical model now is only 100 years old, and there's not a lot of that. There's a lot of suppression, and there's a lot of what's the word, compartmentalization, where all the systems are thought of as independent aspects, not as one kinetic machine. I don't like that notion, because how are you going to get that emotional, physical, spiritual ability to like truly let something out? And that's my gripe with it, is I really don't know if it's practical. LaVon here. Back in action. Thank you guys for being with me here on the Anti-Mutiny Radio. Happy Friday. Feels like Friday the 13th with all these awesome technical issues. On that note, if you guys didn't catch what I said before Colin did, I was talking about how I have an issue with the conventional medical model, because it segregates all the systems in the body, and it makes it really difficult for people to heal. Like, actually, I really like the idea of working with the earth and applying like a permaculture mindset to the body in regards to it being an entire system. And how do you support this system while supporting all the others? And that's what kind of really encouraged me to craft my own potions, because it's not only herbs geared towards wellness, it's they're edible as well. So all of these things can be consumed, or you could cook anything, you can marinate anything with them. And the idea is to take what's from the earth and preserve it so that it's not only can be utilized for a long time, but all the best properties of the plant have been utilized. So it's really exciting because it's helped a lot of people already. I was going to go through a few stories of people who've used it. I started by telling you that I was working in the healing center and just being so close to these people and literally doing body work on them and helping them move through a phase in their life just was so powerful for me. And to know that a literal action notion in my mind, like transferred through my hands into them and helped them achieve something, it became necessary. And I didn't like the stage after a while on which I was performing in regards to the healing center. Just it didn't match my vibration anymore, and it almost felt like a flower that outgrew a pot. It's like I needed to be transplanted. So I came back home to the garden I know, and I kind of took root here, and I'm living in my childhood neighborhood. Ironically, I live in 100-year-old house of the original town doctor, and synchronistic, if you will. He used to operate from this house, which where I am right now, and he used to make potions too. He made herbal remedies and concoctions and grew them all over the property. And from what I understand, the people used to like line up around the block and wait in the property for their turn to see the doctor, whose name was Dr. Lavron. I'm not even kidding. So that's my goal in life now is I want to do this all the time. I want to practice agorism or agorism, whatever you want to call it. And I want to make a living while empowering people to be their best. And I'm going to freaking do it. I am doing it. So I'll be ready to ship you guys potions. If you guys want samples, I'm willing to send you some samples. Just send me an email, turnloveon.com. I'm sorry, turnloveon@gmail.com. Regarding potion samples, or if you're a creator of art or music, I want to know about it. We want to start sharing your guys' messages too, because you matter. And without the support of our viewers and our listeners, there's no point to what we do. So we want to share the love with you guys. And speaking of sharing the love, I've got some really inspiring stories about how the potion has helped a few people I know. There's this chef. He works a lot, and he grows food. He's a father of like four kids. His wife's a doctor. He runs a catering business, and he consults like several restaurants in the county. So he's a busy, busy, busy guy. And he had a torn rotator cuff. And they told him, you need an operation. And he ignored that notion for a couple months, like 6 months. So he just keeps on working through the pain, working through the pain. And I saw him walking because we worked near each other. And I saw him one day and I went, hey, what's going on with that shoulder? And he's like, oh, I've got this torn rotator cuff and it's horrible. And this was when I was first formulating my potion. And I said, you know what? Take this. I don't know like what it'll do for you, but just try it. Like I'm be my little guinea pig, you know? So he did, and he used about 2.5 ounces, two and three quarter ounces of it. No, I'm sorry, like 3 ounce jar, and he said it was gone. I don't have any like pictures to prove it, or MRIs or whatever. Soft tissue images, but according to him, like he felt better. So that's really encouraging to me, and that's just one story. There was this lady who had a hurt knee. She didn't tell me what she did to it, but just like the chef, she's a very busy mom and a promoter and consultant for many businesses, and she's literally like running around all the time. And she told me that she was having trouble with her knee for like a week. And she put the potion on after a shower, which is really important because if you apply it on your skin, it's your largest organ. And if you get out of the shower, your pores are open. And you could add it to your bath if you wanted. But if you didn't do that, you can apply it right after, which she did. And she said that for the whole day, her knee didn't hurt. I've checked back with her today, but last time I checked with her, she was in shock and awe because of this potion. I also have another lady who can't sleep. She has really bad anxiety and what she would call, oh my goodness, what's that term? You can't sleep. Insomnia. I don't know why I couldn't think of that. She has insomnia, so I gave her some of my liquid potion. Because I have like a balm type or a liquid type. And she drinks it or takes it sublingually, which is highly recommended because that way it gets into your bloodstream very quickly. And she's able to sleep at night. These are just a few people. And how awesome is that? Like, that makes me so happy. And because of the ingredients I use, I feel comfortable sharing it with people. I know that it's helping them get better. And, it's just a beautiful thing. So I'm really excited to share with you guys like literal magic from my home to your health. Grown, cultivated, preserved, cured, utilized, extracted with love and patience and understanding. And it couldn't make me happier. And I really wanna do it. I am doing it. I shall do it. I'm gonna do it. So, yeah. Help me out. Check it out. Give me your feedback. Tell me what sucks about it. Tell me what you love about it. I wanna know all the things regarding it and you. So, that's really awesome. Gonna be putting lots of new art on the website too. Because just like the 99.net, everything that's on turnlovon.com goes towards building the gardens. So not only can I create potions, but I can create real tangible food for people in the community. And I want to hire people to work in the gardens, but I don't want to pay them with money. I want to pay them with experience and food, and I want to give them what they need. And I want to establish a bartering system that is self-sustaining and that doesn't include government because I want people to see that you are something. You matter. And you are an independent, beautiful, functioning machine that is self-sustaining. And imagine what we could do if we had 7 billion self-sustaining, highly conscious, aware individuals working with one notion, which is their optimal wellness, which to me makes the most sense because, like, literally inside of all of us, that's what's going on. And if you want to understand the universe, I think you just have to understand the smallest parts of it. And cells, all day, every day, intend to be well. And if that's their notion, why shouldn't we follow suit? So that's why. That's why it matters. I feel like I'm repeating myself a lot tonight because I'm sorry I keep getting off track with the interruptions. Let's see here. I want to finish off the news tonight with an open letter. This is on the antimedia.org. This is by Mr. Gibson. S.M. Gibson. And this is also an op-ed, and we've been posting a lot of opinionated articles lately because why not? We are real people just like you guys. We want to share our hearts and our emotions with you. So this one's from S.M. Gibson, and it's an open letter calling for the resignation of Saudi sympathizing politicians. Okay? So whether you are Nobel Peace Prize recipient Barack Obama or unabashed warmonger John McCain, if you hold a federally elected office in the United States and are calling for more military action in the Middle East without first addressing the crimes against humanity carried out by Saudi Arabia, you are a fraud and you should resign. Effective immediately. I don't mean resign next week or later today. I mean now. Stop what you're doing. Write out a letter or get a staff member to write one for you. I know all about that. And give a press conference. I don't care how you do it. Just resign. Don't put your name on the ballot for another term in Congress. Don't seek higher office. And certainly don't run for president. Stop the charade. You do not represent your constituents. You are a disgrace. Resign. Why do you glorify spending our tax dollars on establishing a military presence in Syria and Iraq for your stated purpose of obliterating ISIS, a group of radical Muslims who barbarically behead human beings, all while the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia has been responsible for at least 152 public beheadings of their own since January 1st, 2015? If you don't consider a nation that sentences a man to decapitation for writing love poems to be radical, then you are deranged. Why do one group's human rights violate warrant swift military action, while another group that commits the same transgressions is heralded as an ally? How stupid do you think we the people are? The world can see you smiling through your scowl as we become wise to the fact that you are using the instability created by ISIS as an excuse to overthrow Assad. You may retort that President Obama has repeatedly stated there will be no boots on the ground in Syria, even though there have been. And how dare I claim that ISIS is being used as a tool for American interests? Aside from the 44th president's words not being worth much, Obama has advanced the U.S. government's policy to train and arm moderate Syrian rebels in the region, while some simultaneously launching airstrikes on their behalf. You and I both know this practically has undeniably resulted in the perpetual arming and strengthening of ISIS. And since it's no secret that the U.S. wants Bashar al-Assad out of power as the leader of Syria, it is glaringly obvious that you are willing to tolerate a few radical jihadis running amok over the Middle East as long as your interests are served as a result of their presence. Although we can agree Assad is a dictator who has committed many ruthless acts of his own, we both know this is not why you wish for him to be ousted, nor is it a legitimate reason to overthrow the Syrian government. If any of you truly cared about ending atrocity and oppression, you would be speaking out against the vicious Saudi regime. Instead, you welcome King Salman with open arms in September when he and his entourage rented out all 222 rooms of the elegant and costly Georgetown Four Seasons during an official state visit to meet with President Obama at the White House. You allowed the Pentagon to honor King Abdullah at the time of his passing in January, when the DOD sponsored an essay contest as a tribute to the life and leadership of the brutal monarch. Instead, you stayed quiet as Saudi Arabia is elected to chair the UN Human Rights Council. Instead, you remain silent as the U.S. State Department approves the sale of $1.3 billion worth of air-to-ground munitions such as laser-guided bombs and general-purpose bombs to the kingdom just last month, not to mention the $90 billion worth of Saudi arms sales you approved between 2010 and 2015. What is Saudi Arabia doing with the legions of weapons you are supplying to them? They are using them on civilians. Of the 5,700 people killed in Yemen by Saudi-led forces since March 26, over 2,500 have been civilians, including 830 women and children, according to the United Nations. In October, KSA threatened its own civilians with the death penalty for spreading rumors about the government on social media. The kingdom also recently sentenced multiple activists to death by crucifixion for protesting, including 20-year-old Ali Mohammed al-Namir, who was 17 at the time of his arrest. Also, you know how you have to use 9/11 as an excuse to carry out every single one of your constitutional shredding whims over the past 14 years. You are aware the government says 15 of the 19 hijackers on 9/11 were Saudi nationals, right? Your response? Invade Iraq, a country that had nothing to do with the attacks. Meanwhile, the Saudi royal family enjoyed a day out on the farm with George W. Bush at his Crawford, Texas ranch. You have also helped block the release of 28 redacted pages from a congressional intelligence report said to contain damning information implicating Saudi complicity in the attacks of 9/11. And of course, you use the tired line of national security to keep those pages suppressed. Because 9/11, of course. Can you see the irony here? Republicans, you love to find reasons to scold the president, but I have never once heard one of you criticize him for accepting around 1.35 million in gifts from the kingdom in 2014. That's probably because you would have taken it too. How about the front-running Democratic nominee for the president of the United States, Hillary Clinton? You too are someone who has benefited greatly from a relationship with Saudi Arabia. According to Mother Jones, in 2011, the State Department cleared an enormous arms deal led by Boeing, a consortium of American defense contractors would deliver $29 billion worth of advanced fighter jets to Saudi Arabia, despite concerns over the kingdom's troublesome human rights record. In the years before Hillary Clinton became Secretary of State, Saudi Arabia had contributed $10 million to the Clinton Foundation. And just 2 months before the jet deal was finalized, Boeing donated $900,000 to the Clinton Foundation. Although you don't currently hold office, Hillary, you should hold yourself accountable. Yeah, fat chance, and drop out of the race. And you should do it today. We both know the Saudi Arabian embassy keeps Tony Podesta, the brother of Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman, on retainer. Podesta is head of one of the largest Republican super PACs in the U.S. and chairs a law firm with deep ties to the Obama administration. Ignacio Sanchez, one of Jeb Bush's top fundraisers, also lobbies on behalf of the Saudi kingdom, but you don't see a conflict of interest, I'm sure. During King Solomon's visit in September, the kingdom helped sponsor lavish galas at Washington's Ritz-Carlton and the Andrew Mellon Auditorium. These affairs were attended by chief executives of Lockheed Martin and General Electric, as well as the chairman of Marriott International. Do you see a problem yet at all? How about Corvus PR firm that has openly worked for the Saudis since, ironically, a few months after 9/11? They must do something for the $7 million they received from the Saudi government between April and September of this year alone. How much influence does that purchase? The 2000 chorus paid the former Republican Congressman Mark Kennedy for a speaking engagement is nothing compared to what is spent to garner airtime on cable news networks, something Saudi officials have been doing more and more regularly. Politicians who hypocritically align themselves with figures as merciless as those they publicly rebuke have shown themselves to be untrustworthy. They should represent no one. Working alongside the Saudis while bombing other countries for similar actions demonstrates your shameful willingness to go along with whatever self-serving agenda is presented to you. You are for sale, but now have sold, and the time has arrived for you to pay up. Should you continue your flagrant support of Saudi Arabia by way of foreign aid and weapon sales, you are no longer to be trusted to hold an elected position of influence. You should therefore resign, effective immediately. The question is your allegiance to the people of the United States, or are you beholden to another kingdom? A petition has been started requesting the resignation of every single federally elected U.S. official continuing to support the brutal Saudi regime. You can add your name to support it here. So, if you like this letter, you can go to theantimedia.org and you can sign the petition too, effective immediately. This is LaVon, you guys. Thank you so much for joining me on this Friday and dealing with all of my technical issues. Hope to be back in the real world via computer soon. If any of you knows how to get rid of the worst virus ever, also email me. If any of you wants to try any LaVon potion, email me. I've got sage cannabis, sage lavender cannabis, sage lavender rosemary cannabis, and just plain old cannabis. You've got to be a Prop 215 patient. I will have to verify you, but I will be happy to do so and share the love. Make sure you check out UCY.TV all the time, not just this time, because there's always something amazing going on. We love it here. We're so happy to be here, this beautiful family of conscious ninjas sharing information. And the 99.net artists, if you've got music or something that you create, just like my potion that you want to share, I'm going to help you. And why not? Let's do it. Don't not believe in your power, because it's pretty sure that nobody's you and no one can do what you do. So you gotta do it. So I'm doing it. You should do it. I'll do it. See you guys on Monday. Bye.
I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo, stereo.